Welcome back to the Barber Institute's Online Tuesday Talks, now in its fourth series. Today, the talk will be given by me, Helen Cobby, Assistant Curator at the Barber, and my colleague, Becca Randall, Learning and Engagement Coordinator. We'll be sharing with you some of the recent research we've carried out into the painting called The Marriage at Cana, made by Sevillian artist Bartolomé Esteban Murillo in about 1672.
Murillo's painting is extremely large, stretching to 179 centimetres high by 235 centimetres wide, making the figures in the foreground more or less life-size. It makes an imposing impression upon the viewer in the Barber's Baroque Gallery, accompanied mainly by other European works from the same century. The table is heavily laden with bread, apples, chicken, and a cake decorated with small white and orange flowers. Large plates of food are being passed overhead, and the table has been adorned with gold and red fabric, on top of which are white tablecloths, decoratively edged with lace. Fine silks and glittering tableware add to the abundant scene.
The only figures to sit in front of the table are Mary and Christ himself. In the far left of the composition, Mary, Christ's mother, is dressed in plain, earthy colours, and looks intently towards Christ, who has his back to her. He is barefoot and wears a simple dark tunic over which is draped an equally dark blue robe. The figures that Christ gestures towards are in a prominent position to the right-hand side of the scene and are in the process of filling numerous Sevillian water pots. This is one of the indicators the scene is from the tale of Christ's first miracle, where he transforms water into wine, thereby revealing his divine identity and crucially inspiring faith in the witnesses. It is also important to note that the presence of the Sevillian water pots help suggest that this biblical scene is set in a hybrid world that is at least partly of the artist and patron's own time.
The figures are largely white Europeans, but one exception is the young boy prominently positioned towards the centre right, who is shown as a black African or Afro-Hispanic. The boy, who seems to be around 10 or 11 years old, is situated just off centre of the composition, looking upward towards three older servants providing and pouring the water. His hands fold around one of the water pot's rims, perhaps indicating his eagerness to be part of the action. His key position at the heart of the miracle, as well as his individualised features and transfixed expression, suggest he is fundamental to Murillo's portrayal of the biblical story, The Marriage Feast at Cana.
This painting is one of the few known works from early modern Spain to depict a black figure, yet the boy's presence has hardly been discussed in previous art historical and gallery-related material, either at the Barber or beyond. Instead, the identities of the bride and groom who sit at the centre of the composition have been energetically debated. Some scholars suggest that they are the artist's patrons, the Flemish silk merchant Nicolas Almazor and his wife Isabel Malcampo. The painting was commissioned by Almazor, who, with 31 paintings, owe more works by Murillo than any other 17th century collector and was his most important private patron. Since March 2020, Becca and I have been addressing the representation, possible identities, lived experiences, and reasons for inclusion of the black boy within Murillo's painting at the Barber. In attempting to name him and sharing what we can of his story, we hope to make steps towards better recognition and sharing of black histories in the Barber's collection.
To try to find out who the boy may have been and what his inclusion in the painting may have meant, our first step was to consider how he is currently described in the interpretation label displayed next to the painting at the Barber. As with many labels referencing people in conditions of domestic servitude, the boy is referred to as a servant. We questioned if it's accurate to describe the boy as working consensually with the choice to leave, or if it's more likely that he was in fact domestically enslaved. When the Marriage at Cana was painted, Seville was a main centre for the slave trade in the Iberian Peninsula, which bolstered the wealth of the Spanish Empire. A high percentage of Seville's population were people of colour. The height of the Spanish slave trade was in the mid-1500s, when up to 2,000 enslaved people were forcibly brought from Africa to Spain each year. By 1600, the enslaved population of Spain is estimated to have been 100,000, the largest enslaved population in Europe outside of Lisbon. It's important to note that the liberation of enslaved people was possible at this time, and that as the 1600s progressed, the number of enslaved people being brought to Spain dwindled due to both the competing demand for labour in the New World and a decrease in the overall Spanish population after the plague of 1640. However, academics have pointed out that the number of previously enslaved Africans or Afro-Hispanics in Spain was much smaller than the overall enslaved population. Therefore, the inclusion of the boy, who may have modelled for Murillo's painting, should be considered in the context of a city highly populated by enslaved black Africans and Afro-Hispanics. Looking at the boy's dress could provide further clues for his identity and status. The boy is shown wearing a red tunic with intricate gold stitching and fastenings, and a white scarf and blue bow around his neck. This is in contrast to the water carriers, who are wearing much simpler clothing or even partially unclothed. Slave owners enslaved people and had this documented in paintings, partly to signify their wealth, and as such, enslaved people would often be depicted wearing expensive clothes that had been bought by the slave owners to add to this display of wealth. Murillo may have conveyed the boy's identity through his activity, as enslaved men in Spain were often water carriers, so the boy's hands on the water could indicate the typical tasks awaiting him in adult life. The description as a boy as a servant may have come about due to his domestic setting, with ideas of enslavement perhaps being tied to plantations. However, a servant or an enslaved domestic worker reference two distinctly different social and legal positions. The gap between the role of a butler, for example, and that of an enslaved worker has been described by experts, such as Carmen Fracchia, as being insurmountable. The term servant may suggest that the work being carried out is consensual, and servants were not abducted or horrifically mistreated and subjected to violence in the way that enslaved people were, nor were they sold at auction. After investigating how to accurately describe the boy's status in the painting, we looked for an individual that may have been the artist's model. The boy certainly seems to have been painted sympathetically as an individual with convincing and expressive facial features, rather than as a stereotype. It's likely that Murillo would have chosen a model to whom he had easy access. Could the boy have been an enslaved domestic worker in the household of the patron, or masseur, or perhaps in the studio of the artist himself? Unfortunately, we were unable to find records of Omazor's household, or details of any enslaved Africans or Afro-Hispanic people who may have lived there. Murillo did, however, have enslaved workers in his studio. They mainly carried out menial work, such as crushing and mixing pigments. This was a common practice for civilian painters at the time, as enslaved people could be sold on to make money for the artist if commissions became scarce. With this in mind, could any of the enslaved people in Murillo's household be represented here as the boy in the marriage at Cana? The records show that there are at least 5 people of colour enslaved by Murillo over the whole of his career. A boy named Tomás, who was born in Murillo's household in 1656 to an enslaved woman, probably from North Africa. Until recently, Tomás seemed like the best candidate for the model for another work by Murillo that features a young black boy called Three Boys, painted around 1670, now in the Dulwich Picture Gallery in London. As this work was painted around the same time as The Marriage at Cana, it's possible that Murillo may have used the same model for both pictures. However, a recent discovery has given us an account of what Tomás looked like, which does not seem to match the figures in either of these two works. The documentation for his release from slavery, or manumission, in 1676, describes Tomás as white of good body and curly hair. The second candidate was Sebastian Gomez, born 1646, who worked in Murillo's household at the time the painting was made. As Sebastian would have been 26 years old at the time, he is an unlikely candidate for the artist's model. Gomez was eventually granted freedom from the household and became an artist in his own right. Although this story is largely thought to be fictional, dramatised by later writers such as Hans Christian Andersen, there are similar accounts of a relationship between two artists, Velázquez and his formerly enslaved assistant, Juan de Parija. Both stories bring awareness to the history of enslaved workers in artists' studios, even if focusing on and even romanticising the rare cases of manumission.
If the boy in Murillo's painting was indeed enslaved by the patron Umazur, then his depiction and centrality within the composition would serve to demonstrate the patron's piety and righteousness for giving the boy his religious education and saving his soul, as he appears as a key witness in the revelation of Christ's true identity. Equally, this means we are being offered an image of the Christianization of the boy. He is in the process of becoming a new Christian. This emphasizes his identity as an enslaved person, because white Spanish Christian viewers in 17th century Seville would have regarded the boy's soul as innately evil, sinful, and godless, but ultimately a soul that could be saved and made civilized by the conversion to Christianity. From what we know from the contents of his art collection, Umazur was a devout Catholic fascinated by religious art. In his collection, the largest subject category was saints, and about 60% of his paintings by Murillo were religious works. His two largest works, and among his most expensive commissions, were The Marriage at Cana and The Immaculada. Both depict religious subject matter. The latter is an example of Murillo's best-loved images, which present the Catholic dogma that Mary was conceived without sin. It is interesting that both of these grand paintings are concerned with the main subject matter being pardoned from sin. This may suggest an emphasis on the pure foundations, the righteousness and the redemptive possibilities of the Christian faith, as well as an assertion of the disciples' places within it, the very things with which Umazur's civilian society was so concerned. If so, these works act as a clear declaration of Umazur's faith and a testament of his commitment to Seville's socio-religious values. Did the fact that he was Flemish and not native to Seville fuel this possible desire to reflect and build upon such values, himself perhaps anxious not to be seen in any way as other? After all, the earliest reference to Umazur and Seville is in a document from the 2nd of July, 1669, only about 3 years before Murillo painted The Marriage at Cana, which identifies him as a residente, a term which indicates the recent arrival in the city. We have also considered the motif of water to be extremely significant within the context of conversion of Afro-Hispanics to Christianity throughout early modern Seville, because of societal obsession with baptism. Water is clearly extremely significant to the biblical story of the marriage at Cana. Christ is able to bring those around him to Christian faith through the use of water. When describing the stone water jars that Christ used for the miracle, John states that they are the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing. This includes the cleaning of guests' feet and as a type of purification ritual, prescribed so a person is considered to be free of uncleanliness, especially prior to worship. These purification rituals are linked to the Christian ritual of baptism, where someone is bathed in water for symbolic cleansing from guilt and sin, so they can pass into a new life as a Christian, transforming their identity. In Murillo's painting, a silver flash of water is, albeit subtly, a point of focus in the scene. The diagonal lines running through the composition, created by the clustered formation of the water pots and Christ's focused gaze and that of the servants, point towards the water being poured from one pot to another. The way that both servants holding water pots seem to caress tenderly their curved sides heightens this sense of the importance and significance of their task. Murillo shows us water being poured alongside the bare arm of a servant. Both these details could further hint at the conditions required for baptism, where water needs to be moving and poured over exposed flesh in order to serve the purpose of ritually carrying away one's impurities. These are some of the ways in which it is possible to explore how race, social standing, and religion were inextricably linked in the Spanish early modern social consciousness. Does the boy's inclusion reflect the historic Spanish preoccupation with enforced conversion of Africans and Afro-Hispanics to Christianity? If so, is the boy used to emphasize the story of conversion and belief at the heart of the biblical story of the marriage at Cana?
This short talk gives a summary of our ongoing research, which aims to explore, critique, and subsequently lead us away from inherited knowledge or gaps in knowledge that are centred around dominant white patriarchal experiences or worldviews. We hope this talk has illustrated that blackness was highly charged in Spanish society in the early modern period, with race and religion being tightly interconnected. We set out to question received knowledge by making a case that there may be more to the boy's inclusion within the composition than simply his signification of the groom's or patron's wealth and status. Indeed, by including the boy in the marriage at Cana and making him a central part of the primary subject of the painting, we argue that Murillo builds an image of the other under various forms of social control, while simultaneously and necessarily creating a picture of what white Spanish Christians would perceive as the self or in-group. In this way, the marriage at Cana is as much about constructing whiteness as it is about the history of black representation.
Thank you very much for listening, and thank you to Jack Davis for composing and playing the guitar music that introduces and ends these weekly talks. There will be another talk in 2 weeks' time by one of our colleagues, so please do come back then if you would like to hear more. Thank you.